You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, you are on the 95BFM Breakfast Show. We've got a guest in the studio. It's Sean McDonald. Kia ora, Sean. How are you?
Kia ora. Good, thank you.
Hey, it's lovely to have you up here. We're talking about a very exciting dance performance which you have put together and is going to be reopening Q Theatre, basically, after this weirdness of 2020. You're part of the Atamira Dance Company, and the performance is called Nawai. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, we get to be the first show at Q Theatre, which is quite exciting. It's called Ngāwai, and it's about three really strong wahine. It's about the intersection of myth and reality. It's about lost love. It's about a travelling waka through the Pacific, and it's about some random art that I made during the lockdown.
Awesome. Those all sound like very good threads to be weaving together. Tell us a little bit about the random lockdown art. What was going on there?
Well, I had boxes, I had leaves, you know, I had a lot of time in my hands, and I had face masks and tape, and I had my empty lounge, and I just sort of threw it all in together.
It's amazing the kind of ways people have dealt with the strangeness of this year, and some people, it's been really a creative boost in many ways, or like a new direction for some thoughts, or a different space for these ideas to come out. As a performer, how have you found this year? It must be strange to, I guess, be in this isolation period when you're used to working around other people so much.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like everyone's got their story. This year, I found it quite motivating for myself and my bubble. It let me be creative on my own and find my own creativity. And then, thankfully, through Atamira, we were able to come together. Mm. And so, luckily, I've got a lucky story that I've sort of been working throughout the year.
Cool.
We were able to come, when we could, back into the studio and sort of be person to person, because dance really is person to person.
Yeah.
I mean, we've tried to do online stuff and we've found some amazing things, and that's a great medium as well. But there's nothing like the real live experience.
And it's been a very specific thing for the performing arts, I think, coping with this year. And things that require such physicality too, and such presentness in a space, it's a very different thing when you kind of have to explore what online means or what isolation means. So it must be quite exciting to be getting back into a big theatre.
Oh, it's so exciting. It's scary as well, but that's all right. Nerves are good. But yeah, I think it's going to be great, the fact that we can have all these people together and they're out there watching this. I'm really grateful to be able to be in this position to create something to give to them.
Yeah, totally. You
know? And there's so much support out there, and people really want to go and see things.
So tell us a little bit more about the story, Sean, of Ngāwai, because you're saying it's got three very powerful wahine, and it's also kind of drawing on mythology too. What is kind of the narrative, I guess?
I guess when you said threads, that's what I started with, threads.
Yeah.
I went back to where my mother comes from, Waimarama, just south of Hastings, mm-hmm. and where I whakapapa to, and I really wanted to find some stories from there.
Mm.
And Waimarama is, it's got a very feminine energy. And then talking with my Uncle Rob, I was nearly going to call the piece Uncle Rob, but we've gone with Ngāwai because there's water in all the stories.
Yeah.
And I found these stories of these really strong wahine from my area, both real and mythological.
Mm.
And so there was a giant squid, Hine Ngū, who shapeshifted, and she fell in love with this tāne wandering down the beach at midnight.
Mm.
Her father, Tangaroa, said, nah, you're not meant to talk to him. And so put a storm and tried to drown this tāne, and Hine Ngū, as a squid, had to try and save him.
Wow.
She had to reveal her real self to him, and he went, nah. His loss, I think.
I reckon.
Yeah. And then the real story is that same tāne in reality married Hine Ngāti Ira, who we whakapapa to, because Waimarama was rangatāne at the time, and the tāne was from an invading war party, Ngāti Kahungunu.
Right.
And their marriage sort of brought us together.
That's amazing.
So I'm sort of drawing stories like that. There's a strong Pohokio, who's a fierce warrior.
Mm.
You know, she used to fight naked with patu. And it's also an awa. So I'm drawing on those stories. Mm. I'm drawing on the story from Takitimu coming from Samoa, all the way down to Waimarama. And I'm not necessarily trying to do it literally.
Yeah.
I'm saying taking all those threads, I'm mixing them all together, I'm coming out with a kind of a different story, a bit more poetic, not necessarily a linear narrative. And then I'm also working with the performers that are in the room and their stories.
So how does that work? Because I think that's one of the most amazing bits about kind of any kind of collaborative storytelling is when you get different people's worlds colliding in a space on a stage. What is sort of some of the, I guess, magic that's come out of these collaborations for you?
Well, it's their interpretations of these stories as well. Mm. So I'm tasking them and sort of giving them sort of the information, and they're going away and coming up with their take on it, and then bringing that back to me, and then I'm going yes, and it's kind of a, we're making it together. And because you have your own ideas in your head, but then when you work with someone else, they just get bigger and bigger, and that's the exciting thing. And with dance and performance, you're working with personalities and those people, so it's really important to form a relationship with them and have them engage in the work. And because they're the ones going to be on stage and sort of owning it and presenting it. So, and they are awesome.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about Atameta as a company? Because I know every sort of dance crew has a very different kind of thing that brings them together. What brings Atameta together? How did it happen?
Yes, so Atameta started in 2000 with a group of friends deciding to make some dance. And they were a collective. And that's kind of how it stayed throughout the years. It's 21 years old next year, which is a long time for a dance company.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it's project-based in terms of different people come on for different projects, but they sort of have a pull. We've had a strong group this year. And it's about presenting New Zealand contemporary dance, Aotearoa contemporary dance, with a Māori focus, Māori kaupapa, I would say. I've been doing it for ages, so I'm kind of friends with all these people as well, so it's colleagues. And that's a different thing about being in this role as a choreographer or director, a maker, kind of being on that side with your colleagues.
It's a really different kind of relationship to be in that seat. You have had a very long and varied career in New Zealand dance. I was wondering if this year has made you reflect on where dance is at for Aotearoa at the moment. Where are sort of I guess what's the litmus test for what's going on in New Zealand dance right now? Do you have a kind of thought on that?
I mean, you're in your own bubble usually when you're making stuff, but I think there's so much going on at the moment, so much in Auckland, and talking about the online, you just go online and like with Tempo Festival, there's so much going on, and when you go to different studios, there's lots of things bubbling away. So it's actually really, really exciting. So you have these bigger kind of projects, but you've got all these layers of really interesting work that's happening, experimental as well as mainstream, and that's exciting. I just wish there was a lot more money, all the arts, and everyone could be doing this full time, because I'm grateful that I can do this at the moment, but
it's a hard road. And I think if we were talking about this off air, but if there has been something good to come out of this year, it's this broader recognition for what we've got in New Zealand. We have such incredible creative makers across all disciplines, really, and there is suddenly this sort of consciousness going beyond the scenes that already knew that was there, that already knew that was happening, was already supporting it, and we're starting to see maybe a little bit more proliferation into these other spaces. I mean, I hope that we just see more of that and a bit more financial support from places like the government and, places like funding bodies, because that would be great, because we've just got incredible creatives here.
I think so. Invest in our own. It's all happening here. We've got it here. Like we were saying earlier, it's great to have these overseas acts, but it's all happening here.
We're very fortunate. Well, it is all going to be kicking off tomorrow. Nawai.
Aye.
That's pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
Tomorrow night's the first one, 7:30 p.m. It's $25, and I think that's pretty reasonable for an incredible dance show.
Yep, cheap as.
Cheap as. Go down with some mates. And if you want to find out more details and more dates as well, you can jump on the Q Theatre website. Any other links you want to plug while you're in here, Sean?
Just go dance, go New Zealand, go art.
Yeah. Hard out. Hey, thank you, Sean, so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck with the show.
Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.